You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
We are live. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Ryan.
Now, before we get started, I just want to say we are recording in Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak. This is a beautiful place, and I love doing podcasts here. So let's start off by introducing my guests here. I have two special guests with me that I've known for a long time. I have my friend Alex Morawski here.
Bingo, 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 bingo.
And the lovely Tiffy Yu. How's it
going? Hello. Very good.
So before we get started, because we're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff, I want to bring up that have you guys ever been to like comedy shows before? I know Alex, yeah.
I have.
I went to one last night.
Oh, and, you did?
Yeah. Shit. It was in Ann Arbor, and I saw Joe List. I don't know if he's a...
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that. Yeah.
You know, he's not like crazy big, but he's really funny. And I thought like I did the most... This is kind of a life lesson to learn is I went with two of our friends and me and my fiance, they're married couple, kind of like a double date thing. So the thing to do is not sit guy, girl, girl at a comedy show.
Oh, they just rag on you.
You know, it's like the guys will sit here and then the girls will sit here. We got so much, like, not trouble, but obviously they were making fun of us because we were in the front and they were like, oh, so are you two married? And like me and, you know, my friend and my fiance, and like they just thought basically it's like, are you two gay? It's like, no, that's my wife. That's my fiance. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's what you tell yourself. So just wanted to bring that out there because make sure you sit next to your partner. But if that's what you're into, that's cool too. So
that's like the whole like two people sitting on the same side of the booth thing though. It's like so taboo.
Yeah, I know. That's what, like, I thought it would be fine, but I know. I guess I just had any other situation, it would be different. So
if I see two people sitting on the same side, I walk up to them and I fart directly in their face.
Do you ever, like, you've been in Royal Oak for a long time now, Tiffy, right?
Well, by a long time, maybe a year going on, a year and a half.
Really?
I thought it was way longer.
No, I've just disappeared into Detroit for the past 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And then emerged into Royal Oak.
Nice. How's all that, like, being around there?
It's different. I mean, I enjoy the conveniences that an actual city provides. But Detroit, after it got into, started redeveloping, I just got tired of the traffic.
Yeah, of congestion.
And I wanted to get out and free up my loft for rental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So get out, and then maybe I'll come back once everything's built and already going on. But I don't want to be there in the intermediate transition growing pains.
Mm.
But yeah, Royal Oak is cool. There's a lot of yoga studios, so I practice. I connect with different people. And it's a lot closer to shopping. Mm-hmm. So, and I just mean food shopping, not even like retail shopping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I live right next to Holiday Market and setting up for the future. That's kind of where I want to be.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Being able to walk to a grocery store is nice.
Yeah.
That's really sweet, actually.
I think a lot of people don't understand the value of that. And it's like to be able to do that is so nice because, you know, you get the exercise and, you know, it's just, yeah, you don't have the traffic and like being in the car. Because I like driving, but it is stressful, you know, and I think a lot of people...
I fucking hate driving. Yeah. It's such a waste of... I mean, the only thing I do that I enjoy that's kind of productive when I'm driving is just listen to podcasts. That
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, definitely. And I live close enough, so I'll walk my dog, and then I'll chain him up by the bikes.
Okay.
Go inside, and then only buy what I can carry, so I'm not wasting extra. Mm. And then the dog and I just... go back home. So it's like two birds, one stone, and to make healthier choices. Because Holiday is a great great grocery store.
Is it like a Trader Joe's kind of, or?
It's kind of. It's
I'm not so familiar with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a great wine and beer selection.
Oh,
they have
there
a great
you go.
Cheese and olive selection. So if you want to entertain, which because now I'm older, that's like what I do.
You old lady. I've kind of reverted where I used to like drink more now. Like I actually smoke more now. Now,
really?
Yeah.
That's like, always good. You know, just chill yourself out.
Yeah, it's way better. Just go home, relax, nice and easy. Ugh, so wonderful.
Maybe one day the holiday place will have weed.
Yeah, maybe in November. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to talk about all your yoga stuff. And I wanted to ask before I get into that is like a yoga call, like a yoga teacher, just called a teacher, practitioner. Like what's the...
Well,
like,
most teachers should be practitioners themselves.
Okay.
I mean, you can't teach what you don't know. Some people like teacher more than instructor, since instructor gives this connotation that you're just there to give poses, whereas a teacher is something bigger because you're helping the student see not just physical postures, which is heavily emphasized in the West, but the other personal growth that comes with yoga.
Okay.
And so I prefer teacher, but I'm not going to argue someone. I mean, I've introduced myself both ways, so I don't really split hairs like that.
Yeah.
What's the other growth in yoga you're talking about? Just like mental health kind of, or
yeah,
mental
so,
wellness maybe?
Yeah,
you know,
yoga is a eight-limb path, and so here in the West, in studios a lot, you see power yoga, hot yoga, heavily emphasizes the physical body. But yoga transcends the physical into the emotional, the spiritual. And so that growth that really happens in yoga is when you can break down those attachments, aversions, all those things inside that are not tangible and grow as a person, make better choices, be kinder to yourself and to others, the planet, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no divorcing or like independence of like meditation and yoga. They are one and the same.
Yes.
Like, it's heavily overlapped.
Absolutely. Even when you are doing physical postures, it becomes a moving meditation because you're linking your breath, you're linking your mind, and then we can definitely get into it. Absolutely. Yeah.
I got to do my first class.
Oh, yeah?
I know Ryan said he did your class the other day. I'll let him elaborate
awesome.
That in a minute.
Yeah. No, where'd you do yours at?
We were at Plymouth Yoga Room, but in the north, they have a Northville studio too now.
Oh, okay.
She goes there regular. Actually, this is pretty legit. Right across the street from Death Pit. I don't know if it's happening or not, but there's a big sign that just says yoga, and it looks like they're opening a yoga studio literally across the street.
Oh, my God.
That'd be perfect
so
for
jelly.
You,
it's like go stretch out and then go get hammed up at Yacht Club and then rip along when I get home and just finish it all. But, we did that, and, like, I had made an attempt last year to try meditation as, like, my New Year's resolution. So I tried to do that, like, that mind space or headspace, the 10-day one. And it was really – I enjoyed it, but I did it for, like, the first – honestly, there's like six. I almost got there. I wimped out and I didn't do the whole 10 days. I got like 6, 7, 8 days in. And then I hung it up for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried it again this year. And I was just doing – I remember Shauna was mentioning something about little like 1-minute meditations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I would always like to think that I'm reasonably mindful. At least I feel like I am intuitively. I realize when emotions are driving me instead of some normal shit. Like if I'm pissed off, I'm like, nothing is really that bad. This is just a passing feeling. You can, kind of talk yourself off of a ledge when you don't want to have a reaction to something. And I was hoping meditation could help me like mitigate stress even stronger. But I didn't get a whole lot from it when I first tried.
And how long did you meditate for?
It was like 10-minute sessions. So it was like 6 10-minute sessions.
Yeah. And there are techniques that help focus the mind because the mind, it's hard to meditate. The first time I tried meditation, I was trying to impress this girl I had a crush on, and so she invited me.
With meditation?
With meditation.
How does that work?
Like, come on.
I understand having like muscles or like being like having
push-ups. Imagine going to the bar and you're sitting there like...
That person's like, meditating so hard.
Yeah. Well, these are the people I attract.
Touché.
You
gotta finish the story now. So you're trying to pick up this chick through your meditative abilities.
She invited me to a silent retreat. And I just jumped into the deep end, tried to meditate for 8 hours at this retreat. And it was painful. It was painful trying to sit up straight. It was painful trying to focus.
That's part of it, though, right? You're supposed to endure those and realize they're just like passing like senses.
In a way. And that's what yoga grew from.
Mm. Really?
They sat to meditate and they were like, oh, man, my hips hurt. My back hurts. I can't focus. My body hurts. And so they got up and stretched a little. And then all of these poses grew from preparing the body, purifying it for seated meditation to grow inwards and find that enlightenment from inside.
I think when I was doing your class, that's actually like a very good thing you just said, because I'm very like high strung and it's like I like the, you know, idea of meditation. I understand it's like really important, and going through like the motions and all the yoga and stuff like that at the end when you're like basically just like relaxing and like, you know, laying down in the fetal pose.
Right, yeah. Before baby.
It's like I actually felt for a good few seconds, you know, which is, you know, crazy feat for me, just like clear, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, like my heart's just like kind of not even there, you know what I mean? And it's
absolutely.
Like.
So that's standard then that it's incorporated, because I didn't know if it was a unique, like, because we were in like a hot class, but it wasn't Bikram. It was like 80 or 93 degrees or 90 degrees in there. I didn't know if that was just like an anomaly that they were doing that, or if that is standard.
Shavasana is standard, and they prescribe 10 minutes per hour. So if you practice an hour of yoga, 10 minutes should be Shavasana.
Okay. And Shavasana is a term for meditation?
It's corpse pose. It's where you lay there.
Oh, okay.
And an interesting note is in Shavasana, they actually used to lay on corpses.
What?
Wait, what?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What do you mean? So they would have like a dead person and you would lay on top of them?
Well, you have to consider the era that yoga started.
They didn't have studios?
Didn't have studios.
Its origin is India, correct?
Because the Red Lotus studio is very nice and clean. There's no dead bodies. There's people that kind of look like dead bodies after a class, but yeah.
Yeah, it was Shavasana breaks down those walls and assimilates the practice, but it is little death. You kind of face it each time. And then from that, you get to, quote, be reborn, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it honors these cycles of life, death, and renewal over and over. You break down the ego. You let the ego die. And then you reawaken. And you get to choose what you want after you get up. You get to make the choices again.
Yeah. And the ego thing's a big one that I kept thinking about a lot too, because, you know, I definitely have my ego insecurities, and especially with like a lot of fitness, you know, it's all about ego, you know, it's like, I'm better, I look better, I'm this.
You can do more.
Yeah. And that's like, I love getting my mind out of that. Like, and whenever I do a yoga class, I'm always like, am I doing this right? And it's like, not about that. You know, you're supposed to be like trusting in your instructor and being like, it's not, it's cool, because in a lot of fitness, it's like everything's a competition. And I feel like yoga kind of stands away from that, you know?
As much as we emphasize that it's not that, it's hard to let that ego go.
Yeah, very difficult.
Like grooves in a record, if you continue to think about it, you keep dropping the needle right in that point. So the more you think about it, the more you drop the needle, the more grooves, the deeper it is in that record. And so if you've been doing that for 10, 20, 30 years, whenever you come to the practice, when you get there, you carry all that baggage with you.
Yeah.
And it takes time to break those habits and form new ones. The term is samskara. It means the habits that we form. And these habits that we form in this life follow us throughout the soul's growth.
Okay.
So,
and like that whole... like, is that supposed to be found, like, the whole rebirth caste system type of thing?
Yeah, like reincarnation. So if you have this habit that you're stuck in and you don't resolve it in this life, you're just going to have to redo it again the next time you come back to Earth. That is if you believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm getting heavily into the spiritual side of yoga. And for me, it's hard to separate those things.
Okay.
It's the origin of it. It kind of makes sense.
I was thinking with, you know, especially all the other stuff you do, you know, because you're like a scientist. So it's like, how do you break those two, you know, like,
right.
Because can you be like, do any of your colleagues be like, what are you talking about?
I get it from both sides.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I get it from the scientist thinking that yoga is all woo-woo, too crunchy, too, like, you know, airy. And then from the yoga side, I have them look at Western science like, oh my God, it's so evil. The vaccines.
Everyone's got an agenda.
Yeah, it's big pharma. It's all this.
Yeah.
And because I grew up Buddhist, I grew up practicing traditional Chinese medicine. And then I also studied Western medicine, did research in the medical school. Now I work in pathology at one of the bigger hospitals in this area. Mm-hmm. I've had to marry the two things. And to me, there is no separation.
Yeah.
In yoga, they call it prana, or in martial arts, they call it chi.
Okay.
Energy. Yeah. Mm. In science, they call it ATP. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Right out of that mitochondria, baby.
Exactly. All about the membranes.
It's just a different, it's a different word to use. And I think that's very smart to have the knowledge of both, like you said, and it's nothing against people that are on one side of, you know, the force, let's say that. Hey, you can't see this. That's why podcasts are good. So, but
I'm such a child.
I just, like, Bruce Lee was always such a big, you know, iconic person to me because he could blend martial arts, and, you know, that obviously spawned everything else. And I think, like, what you just mentioned is important, and not saying like everyone should do it, but, you know, I think that's a good quality that you have for that. How did you get started in all this? Did you just, like, did any of, like, your family do this, or?
Wait, did you say, when you were talking about earlier, when you jumped in for that 8 hour a day silent retreat, did you say that was what got you into yoga beyond that?
No.
Oh, okay.
When I did that in college, I'd already known about yoga, and I knew I needed to work on meditation. And so I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity, and maybe I'll, like, make a deeper connection.
Because you didn't do any yoga in high school.
I practiced it a little bit at home, but I didn't know anything. I didn't have a teacher, and that's the biggest thing. Kelly Karneski, my 14th birthday, actually bought me a book.
Okay.
So I picked out this yoga book, and it was like a big overall. It wasn't just the poses, but it was on mudras, the shapes you take with your hands or your body. It was on breath. And then it just covered the whole yoga. Mm-hmm. And I tried doing it through a book, and it wasn't until I was 19 and I was in college that I found my first teacher. And having teachers is what promoted that growth and helped me understand how to practice. And so really for me, it started when I found my first teacher when I was 19.
Okay.
And I've been practicing consistently since.
God, yeah, that's like, what, not 12 years? You're the same age as I am.
Yeah.
Because your birthday's like a few weeks prior to mine.
I know. I'm 31.
Hey, I'm only 31 minus a few days from you.
Now, was this like your first teacher, did you have to go through, like, other people? Like, did you, like, meet anybody that you're like, oh, you're not doing this right, or this isn't, like?
No. And I met her by happenstance, as I have all my teachers. And there's this
saying. It's weird how that happens.
Exactly. there's a saying that goes around that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Okay.
And if you're not ready to learn something, it doesn't matter who's trying to teach it to you. You won't absorb it, or you won't be open to it. So as I've grown as a person, I've met other people that have helped me grow along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that growth was easy or it was painful, you know, that's the course of growth.
Yeah.
And so I've met like four people along the way that have really shown me the path.
Yeah.
And once you're shown the path, you have to walk the walk yourself.
Exactly.
They can be alongside you, but you have to put in the work and you have to do it.
Now, what it's like, these retreats you go on, that's like kind of the next step into, like, really, like, putting yourself, like, jumping in the water, per se. You know what I mean? Because I feel like, especially how commercialized yoga can be, you know, like, I was a personal trainer at one point, and, like, they have all these, you know, certifications you can get, and I guess I'm dogging them a little bit, but, you know, I could pay this $100 fee or whatever it is, and I'd be, like, technically just like you, but I wouldn't be, you know? I'm like, yeah, I know, blah, 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 but it's like I would be a phony, and I feel like a lot of people can do that, and it's like, but I feel like if you're investing into these, like, retreats and stuff, that's, like, kind of how you break away from the pact. Like, what was your first experience with that?
So one of my teachers, Jackie Miraca, she co-taught the training that I was in. And so I found my teacher, Monica Breen, who really helped me grow into the deeper energetic part of the practice, the energy work, the meditation, the different types of breath. And so she did this teacher training with Jackie, and Jackie runs retreats. She did her training in Costa Rica. That's kind of her home base. And so she, when I wasn't planning on going on a retreat, and just like that, it fell into my lap, and I thought, I'm just going to do it. And so I went on this retreat with her, and I've gone on other retreats with her as well, and she's got a really great energy about her. She's really authentic.
Mm-hmm. What comprises the yoga retreat then? Are you just going there and you just spend like maybe on and off like 8 hours a day or something doing yoga?
Yeah, so retreats are great because it's set up. It gives you enough structure, but not so much structure that you got to
be too rigid.
Right, that you're just like every single moment you're doing something else.
So a little bit of flexibility to make it comfortable. Right? So it's still like a trip as well. It's not just work.
It is. And so an outline for a retreat, maybe you wake up every morning, 7 a.m., you do an hour practice, you do a little meditation. There may follow up some philosophy, some what I call circle time, where you sit in a circle and you get the talking stick, the sage stick, and you get to express whatever may have come up in meditation, and no one speaks, they just listen.
Really?
And then you pass it on to the next person. So everyone gets their space to speak, to be acknowledged. And then you have some free time. Do whatever you want. If a lot of things came up and you want to retreat back to your room, have some more silent time and reflect on that, journal, you can do that. If you want to join together, but we share meals, we go out, do excursions together, and then you come back in the evening, you do a more kind of chill, restorative practice, you eat some dinner, and then you have some free time after dinner. And then it's just days like that. And so some of them have been built in, depending on where you're at. Like, I went to Peru, so naturally we went to Machu Picchu.
Oh, you went to Peru? Cool. Oh, I'm jelly. I've never been to Peru. I've never been to anywhere in South America.
Oh, no,
I've been to Costa Rica. Oh, that's Central.
Central, America. Yeah. Close. In the direction.
Yeah. I always wanted to go to Brazil so bad. I want to go to Rio for Rio de Janeiro for New Year's. I thought it would be so freaking
cool. Yeah, that's on my bucket list for sure. One of the natural wonders.
We've done, just that Sugar Loaf Island, that giant one, and then they got the Jesus.
That's what I was thinking.
It would just be so wild that you can take like a trolley, I guess. It goes that Sugar Loaf Mountain, like goes like over, I think like some water, and then like a bunch of buildings. And it just looked really gnarly, something cool.
My sister did a yoga retreat, and like, because she was into like teaching for a while, and the one... the way you were describing it sounded so better, like so much more like, I mean, I'm sure they're all different. I'm not sure where she went, but she was telling me more of the struggles, which I understand you're challenging yourself in this way. And she was talking about how, and I don't know if this is the same with everything, but that she wasn't like allowed to talk for like these long periods of time. Like it was like, you had to just kind of just not say anything or like. It was very weird, but like, is that like
it's weird? Sorry.
Well, it depends. It depends what retreat you go on.
Yeah, because that's like when you were describing yours, I'm like, that sounds like an awesome vacation. You know what I mean? But but you know, I would think with the whole purpose of the retreat too is to challenge yourself with other peers that are, you know, trying to get to that next level in their, you know, yoga abilities and stuff like that. So
it's coming together in a like-minded group of people and being able to cultivate that which you are trying to cultivate, which will be different than the person next to you. You know, we're all different people. We all come with our own different things to work through. And so retreat life allows you to leave all the responsibilities of normal life. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from. You don't have to worry about, you know, what you're going to wear, what you're going to really do, because there's a rough outline. And so when you take away those obligations of daily life, because it all creates stress, it takes you out of your environment, and usually they're not in like big city centers. They're off the beaten path, way off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have all those extra distractions, then the real work.
Yeah, so much less noise to get in the way of the signal. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm kind of curious, just so when you go then, is it like just are you guys just like a community that chooses to go at the same time, or are you actually like paying is there like a place that exclusively hosts like these yoga retreats?
I would say both. because the space that you're looking for is somewhere that has a practice space, and that can be like a big room with open windows, or it could be a yoga terrace, like where we
outside
went.
Outside on a cliff or something. Yeah. I saw you had some breathtaking pictures, you know. There's some great landscape there.
And the place we went to in the Dominican Republic that I brought my friends to.
I heard Scott was there.
Scott was there.
I ran into him and Bill the other day. You can imagine what for. And it was sweet. He's like, yeah, it's like, I just got back from Tiffany's wedding. I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, because who is his girlfriend that you were close to?
Natalie.
Natalie? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so for my wedding, I had been in three consecutive weddings as a bridesmaid or a maid of honor. And when it came my turn, I basically didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it like
it's a lot of bullshit.
The standard way, spend all that money, have one day. So when we were planning our wedding, I decided, what do I want to do? What makes me happiest? And I told my husband that I want everyone to retreat. I don't want it to be stressful. I absolutely don't want it to be stressful. And I don't want us to be consumed by material things, needing more, needing it to be like this. So I set him off with a mission, and he found a beautiful retreat center in Dominican Republic that faces the ocean, has 1,000 square foot yoga terrace, and that's where we hosted our wedding retreat.
That's so cool. I love Dominican, dude. I went there for New Year's, actually, like, what, 4 years ago? Something like that? I was at a resort, so it was just kind of hedonistic. Like, it was so much fun. Like, we were waiting for the girls to get ready there. I've never done an all-inclusive retreat. That was my first time. And believe me, we got our money's worth.
Yeah.
Like, we were, like, waiting for our chicks to get ready there. And it's gorgeous, too, because, like, you know, it was nighttime. There's a constant, like, 15-mile-an-hour breeze. You're in a place that, like, the standard deviation of temperature is, like, 3 degrees north or south of 85. So it's, like, amazing.
You don't have to plan, like, I need this, I need that. You're just like,
shit. Yeah. It's like, I need sandals, put out your hand, and liver. And I remember there was, oh my God, this is like the bane and the ire of like the lazy American. Like, I was just,
let's go to the opposite of the yoga retreat.
Oh, this is miles away. This is why I need to like get more into yoga to cleanse myself. Remember, we were waiting while the girls were getting ready, and they're just sticking around, like, oh my God, your butt looks great. I got to go to the bathroom. You know that shit?
That's exactly what happened.
And we were just sitting here, I'm like, well, it's going to take them so long. You guys know everything's free here. They're like, oh shit. It's like, yeah, so I called room service. I'm like, can I get, and I tried to say it as plain as possible just to be as like goofy. I'm like, can I get 4 steaks and a 24 pack of beer? They're like, sure. I'm like, medium rare, all of them. Thank you. French fries. And like, literally, we're like eating French fries and slamming beers. It's just waiting for them to get ready. I'm like, oh my God, I would die if I had those kind of resources at my fingertips within a month.
It's like the taste of being, you know, quadrillionaire or whatever, that just everything's at your fingertips.
You don't gotta be a quadrillionaire to eat steaks and drink beers.
But it just goes to show, you're like, I'm glad I'm not winning the lottery, because this is probably how I would do it, you know?
Oh my God. That's so exhausting living that way.
Now, with like all the, you know, yoga that you're talking about, and has there ever been any like doubts or anything through your, you know, journey that you're continuing to do? Like, people get into things and be like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. Has that ever set into your mind while doing this?
Is there like a retirement from yoga? Like, you know, you quit playing.
But that's
football.
Not the point. You know, the point's it's a lifestyle.
So I got to bring it back to the philosophy to explain this. Okay. So it is rooted in a lot of Eastern philosophy, reincarnation, dharma, karma. And so yoga is more than a lifelong practice. It's multiple lifetimes of practice. And so what I do in this lifetime is the work to pay off my karmic debt, basically, to refine the important things in my life, let go of those things that are still chaining me to material importance.
Yeah.
This body, this, you know,
so is it like an approach to nirvana type of thing? Is that what
it's
supposed to be?
You move towards samadhi, which is bliss. Okay. And as long as you're attached to this material world, you will always crave something else. And that will always create some kind of friction between you and what you want. And so yoga will be hard. There will be times where I butt up against the inside things of me, my own ego, my own fears. And the practice teaches me to face those. And so you're going to need them for your whole life.
Yeah.
You know, up until the very end, you can face your ultimate long sleep as with fear or with acceptance. And so everything I do in yoga now prepares me for the resolution of this chapter of my soul, preparing me for the next one. And if I did the good things in this life, my next life will be easier. And maybe I won't need a next life. Maybe I will have completed all the things here and I can join the flow, the nirvana. Basically, my energy dissipates back into everything that has been and will be.
Because that's the whole goal of that, right? To break the cycle and stop. Like, there's no caste system that's associated with like yoga, is there?
Well, there isn't with yoga. Anyone can practice it. Back then, a little bit of yoga history, you know, it's teacher to student, teacher to student. That's how it's taught. And they used to not teach to women. You know, but
did
now it's
like a Brahmin
opened
or something
up.
Back then, or I don't know what the rules.
No, they're, and I might butcher this word, but ascetic. So basically, someone that renounces normal society obligations and they retreat into the mountains to do this internal work, and so they practice tapas, which translates
small
to fire.
Plates of food. Yeah. Yes, I know. I've been practicing those all day.
Yeah, and so they perform these kind of rituals or disciplines to refine the mind. And so a certain tapasaya is to be silent for 12 years.
Holy shit.
Or to hold their arm over their head for a minimum of 12 years. And you can see those guys, they cover their body in ash and their nails grow long because that's the arm they hold up.
It's like an Ace Ventura when that one guy's standing on the
floor. With my hope, he may be the best.
He's like, spitting things up. Sorry.
Yeah, and so there is those things you can do. Stand on one foot, never lay down, never sit. That's what they used to perform.
What's the purpose of that sacrifice then? I don't get that. Or maybe I missed what... You were leading up to what's the purpose then? What are they to gain by like holding something up for 12 years?
It's to build that discipline.
So it's just a sacrifice type of thing, like going through this,
yeah,
not doing this, yeah,
which is hard for normal people because you have obligations,
yeah,
you have family to answer to, you have things.
Like Game of Thrones at 6 o'clock,
right? Exactly.
So it's like an expression of grit almost for what you're doing.
Yeah, like they are the people that are so serious. They're gonna go up into the mountains, and the mountains in the east have tigers, have bears, and so you need the strength, almost that fire in your belly to say, I'm going to go do that internal work away from distractions and sometimes having to face danger.
Yeah.
How are you going to face it?
Yeah, the world isn't safe, you know, and like we make it out to be like this Nerf world, and it's not, and it's cool hearing like those things that, you know, people without any weapons or technology would go out and do something like that just to find who they are. You know, that takes a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I just lost it. But what I wanted
stop
to
stop losing.
I know, it just went away. I just got so deep with
I
it.
I just love that I can whisper and you guys can hear.
What are some misconceptions of like yoga that you feel like the public don't kind of like twist around? Does
anything
like bother
that's
you?
A great question.
That is, yeah.
I can't do yoga cuz I'm not flexible. Yoga is about the breath.
Yeah.
You know, you going back to that first posture in meditation, in seated meditation, that is yoga. You can be in the grocery checkout lane and breathe, and you're doing your yoga there. Mm-hmm. Yoga is...
You can take it with you, eh?
Yeah. So yoga has eight limbs. The first are the yamas and the niyamas. The yamas are things like ahimsa, non-harm, satya, truthfulness. And so this is how you conduct yourself. Mm. You don't hurt people or things.
So it's like a criterion you're supposed to follow.
Absolutely. And then there are the niyamas, where you kind of have contentment. You don't want for more. And so those are internal observances. Then third is the asanas, the physical postures. Mm. The fourth is pranayama, breath work. Prana is that energy or chi. And aniyama means to lengthen. So as you build your breath and you do all the different breath exercises, you build the energy stores. And if we bring it back to Western science, the more oxygen you can bring into your body and maximize it, not by panting, but by holding your breath. You change the pH in your blood, and that releases the oxygen to be used. That oxygen molecule, through respirative oxidation, goes into the mitochondria, where it goes through the electron transport chain and produces ATP, energy.
Energy.
So whatever you want to call it, you know, east or west, it's building energy. Now, what are you going to do with that energy now that you have it? The fifth limb is pratyahara, sense withdrawal.
Slow down.
Sorry, I always look for a chance to get teed up. I'm like, oh, I got something I can say. Sorry.
And then, no, that's fine. The sixth limb, seventh limb have to do with concentration. Meditation, different than full concentration. Mm. There are levels to it. And then lastly, all of it comes together in samadhi, bliss, contentment, where your internal world isn't changed by your external world. And when you can pull all eight limbs of yoga together, that's the path. And so one of those misconceptions here in the West is that yoga is just postures. And yoga is more than postures. Yoga is how you live your life. Mm-hmm. Yoga is with the food you choose to eat. Yoga is how you choose to speak or not speak. And yoga is about building the breath and really cultivating energy. Mm-hmm. ATP, yeah, to do good in the end. And there's so many other layers like selfless service, seva. And so you build this energy, you refine this body into this beautiful mechanical machine. What are you going to do with it? Mm. It's not all about you. And when you can see the connectedness of all people, all things, then you are fulfilling that greater good. And I think that's what my yoga means, that I can train myself and then to build this energy and give it forth to all the other people I'm connected to. Mm.
You saying that right there is just why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because the way you just broke down everything and the...
Very eloquent. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, you know, like if I wanted, like, let's say we didn't have the relationship we did and I came into, mm-hmm, you know, your class, I always get that, like, you know, I guess American kind of fear of like, I'm going to get into this, you know, all the eight limbs, like stuff that you were just talking about, and like that's all I'm gonna hear. But you explaining it on both sides of like the yoga and like the science, I mean, that's just what kind of calls to me, and it makes sense to me. And you know, it doesn't make me want to run out and be like, oh, I'm gonna join a cult, you know what I mean? Like, so I that's just so beautiful. You like said it the way that you did. So what other, like, what do you see in like the future with your yoga and stuff like that? Is that something that you think about? Like, cause I feel like with a lot of other fitness stuff that I'm used to, you know, you're like, I'm going to get that next mile. I'm going to get that next, you know, yeah, PR and all that stuff. How does that like translate into your yoga?
In my personal practice or in my teaching?
I guess both.
Yeah. So I guess to speak to my personal practice, there's no pose that I'm aiming for, that I feel like is going to like make it. And one of my pet peeves is saying I nailed it.
Yeah.
You think you did, but that's just one variation.
Exactly.
You have a good teacher and all they do is change one little thing. Like, don't point your toe out this way, point it in that way. Or, you know, and so it's like, there's always more. There's always more to it. So you can never say like, got it, check it, nail it, done, yeah, it.
I've done every
next one.
That's my, yeah, that's what I do. And you said something really cool in your class when I was there. I forgot what move we were doing, but you were like saying, don't do it this way, because if we do it this way, that'll be like acrobatics or something. Like you said, it was going to be something else, and it obviously wouldn't be yoga. It'd be, yeah, you know, just playing around basically.
Yeah, because the physical postures have a lot of overlap with calisthenics and with, yeah, gymnastics. Like, that's it, yeah, hand balancing, very gymnastic.
For sure.
Backbending, very gymnastic.
That was my joke. I'm like, maybe we should go outside and see if Tiffany's walking here in her hands or some shit.
Sure, she could. So.
I could, but if I'm not breathing, if I'm just like powering through it,
yeah,
then that's not the yoga.
You're showing off then, you know, and that's not the point.
To rewind a little bit, you were saying like you could just start using like breathing exercises while waiting the line at a grocery line. Like if you were to, I'd imagine a lot of people approach yoga mainly for health reasons is probably the easiest,
yeah,
entry point.
Yeah.
So is there any like simple little, like if you're just taking like a 10,000 foot glance at all like your options of how to breathe and how, yeah, to move and how to like engage yourself with your mindfulness of your, mm-hmm, spirit and crap. But what if like, is there anything you can offer somebody to do simply? If,
yeah,
they're like, for someone like me, when actually, let me double rewind. I've only done that one class,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't realize how much meditation was in it. And that's why it was really impressive. It was a lot of fun.
It's like, what's the app version?
Well, it made me very interested. I'm like, maybe there's little steps I could take in the interim until I really decide to commit to going to a class.
I mean, you don't have to do like me where you jump into the deep end of the pool without knowing how to swim yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's little things and you build onto it.
What would be some good examples for somebody to practice that's just, you know, they're scratching the surface, so they're just barely peeking through the window of the life of somebody who practices yoga?
So one of the greatest breath exercises is four-part breathing.
Mm.
So you have your inhale, then you have the pause at the top where you suspend breath and you hold it in. Then you exhale all the way to empty and then hold your breath at the bottom, feel that emptiness at the bottom. And then breathe again. And so you imagine it like a square. You have your inhale. Then you pause with a full breath. Then exhale. Then pause with the empty breath. And then begin again.
Never heard of ads like the square. You know, like I've always heard like breathing exercise. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. And there are names to it. One I taught in my class today was alternate nostril breathing or Nadi Shodhana. And you press the right nostril in, breathe in through the left side of the nose, hold at the top. And then exhale out the right side. And then inhale the right side, pause at the top, exhale out the left. And the key is that you expand the capacity of your inhales and exhales.
Sorry, I'm trying to. So it's all like.
Alex is practicing while we're talking. Which is okay. It's fine.
It's interesting. You know? Especially because like I had polyps in my nasal cavity. Mm-hmm. I guess there's this trifecta thing that happens for certain people born in the 80s like we were, where if you are like have allergies to like cats and dogs, then – if you fit two of these three criterion, you generally will get like polyps. And it's like
– interesting.
If you have like allergies to cat and dogs, if you have allergies to generally like aspirin specifically, like I can't eat aspirin or like
– that's probably good for your liver.
Yeah. Well, I don't take any ibuprofen or anything like that anyway, but just also out of necessity.
Yeah.
And then what was the third part is like then likely if you have allergy to cats and dogs and allergy to – aspirin, then likely you have nasal polyps as well.
Interesting. And without breathing in and out through the nose, really it's hard to practice yoga. And I took a 2-year break because I had a deviated septum.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was so bad because I tried to use a neti pot. And a neti pot is like a teacup that you stick up your nose, and then you lean your head and you pour. And it's supposed to pour out the opposite nostril. But for me, it just kept pouring down the back of my throat, and I was like,
"Well, that's the difference.
Why is this happening?"
Stuff,
yes,
right?
There was salt in it.
Yeah, your nasal cavity, it goes around, and then it connects through the back. That's why, like, when you drink like hoppy, this is an IPA that they've made here, and like that's why that's you get so much from the Cascade hops that just goes right into your nasal cavity.
That makes so much sense. Why I get congested when I drink super hoppy beer?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It makes sense. Yeah,
I thought it was just my allergies.
Yeah. I thought I broke my nose once because someone punched it, but
Alex.
No, it was
Ryan called me a dildo.
MMA stuff will do that to you.
Ryan said he hated dinosaurs, so I just put him down.
But have you looked into any like the Wim Hof stuff? I know he's not like a yogi or anything like that, but he's an interesting guy.
He's insane. This guy, he climbed Everest in like shorts and a t-shirt or something crazy.
Yeah, and he's like. He's not super old, but I mean, he's like probably like 50.
I think he's, he might
be like a mind over matter type guy.
It's like it's all he's like obsessed with just like breathing techniques, and he like created his own thing of like his whole like class, I guess, or his like teaching is just like, I can teach you how to breathe the right way, and you can like do anything. And he's proved it
too.
Basically.
And it's like he does a lot of like breathe in really heavy and like exhale, like kind of like almost like. Getting all your breath out and stuff, and he actually had like some virus or like a cold virus like put into him, and just through like a breathing exercise, he like got it out of his system.
He expelled it.
It was weird.
That's interesting because when I think about the science behind it, you have macrophages in your lungs. They eat up all the bacteria and viruses in the area. So when you're naturally breathing baseline, like you don't think about it, you're just breathing. You're not really expanding your rib cage and diaphragm to fully engage all of your lung tissue and then fully exhale and press it all out. So if we're just shallow breathing, you only get so much. When you do breath exercises, you engage your diaphragm and your intercostal muscles. You fill the full thoracic cavity. And then when you exhale, you use those accessory muscles to push it all out. I mean, your lung is a filter.
Yeah.
You know, And so you're filtering just the oxygen you need and you're filtering out the CO2 you don't. And everything else that gets caught up into the breath you're breathing, the particles, the viruses. And depending on what virus it is, sometimes you don't need a lot of infectious agent to get sick. Mm. You know, it's like I worked in microbiology for 4 or 5 years. And so your lung tissue is really, really soft. It's so delicate. It's like pate almost. Ooh. It's so delicate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like viscous.
It's soft. It's
and we take it for
squishy.
Granted so much. We're like, oh, it's just right here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, the power of the breath is everything. There's a reason why martial artists use the breath to cultivate the energy. All the
yeah.
And then pushing yeah. it down. Yogis use it. I mean, the breath is powerful. And we are so concerned to hear that first breath when a person is born. Everyone is waiting, pins and needles, to hear it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, no one really thinks about it unless you have asthma or unless you have a respiratory disorder, you know?
Yeah.
And that mastering the mind begins with the breath.
Okay. All comes back to the breath.
It does.
Meditation.
It does.
Oh, wait. That was the other part of my three thing. That trifecta. Asthma. That was the other one. Sorry. Like polyps, asthma, allergies. They're all connected.
I wanted to ask you, too, about like how society is now with like social media and things like that. And I feel like you do yours so well with like posting, you know, your yoga and like promoting it, but not being – totally like in your face and that you're like always on your phone. Cause I always feel like that's like a, not a contradiction, but it's like, how can all the things you're saying? And then yeah. you're like, I'm always on my phone and stuff
know,
like that. But I know you're like different than that, but like, how do you see that with like social media and stuff like that and like your practice?
So when it comes to the yoga business, it's almost at this point, you can't really avoid it.
Yeah.
You know,
especially in America, it's like, that's like, you have to know it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's marketing. I mean, sure. Why not use tools that you have available to you? But then there's that fine line of becoming addicted to social media. Mm. China is one of those countries that now they have like AA for electronics.
Cell phones.
Yeah, because yeah, so they're addicted. And my mom sent me this meme, and it was a guy curled up on his side in like a fetal pose looking at his phone. And they paired that the same era of drug addicts.
That's crazy.
Well, they say it's like when you play, I know that was a big thing, like when World of Warcraft was super huge, like the same, like, what is it, serotonin receptors in your brain mm-hmm. are like lit up when you're playing a video yeah. game like that as when you're doing like heroin and shit. You know, something that's like deeply addictive.
Yes, and those neural pathways, the more you do it, the needle on the record, it just becomes more ingrained.
It in, yeah.
And so when I practice, I turn my phone off and I ignore it. And now I've conditioned everybody else in my life. You know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be practicing yoga. I will not be reachable.
Yeah.
If it's very important,
you
know where to find me.
You know, in your class, I almost got up and punched the guy next to me. And I didn't mean like I should have, but when like the music was going on and we were doing like the last couple poses, there's that like that ting that like you know like a
oh, he had his phone in class?
No.
I didn't even notice.
But no, it wasn't. Yeah, it was like that. But it was the music you had. And I think it was, but I thought it was just like he got a text. Like I was totally wrong. I'm glad I didn't make a scene, but it was so funny.
Yeah, because I had to intervene
for sure. But you know, like, it was just funny because that's immediately where my brain was going. We're like winding down at the end of class, and I'm like, I did it. Like, this is cool, and like I'm feeling good. And all of a sudden, I heard that like ting, and I was just like but it's funny that your brain would go to that. And then once I like took a breath, and I was like, oh wait, that's.
Yeah, because I do play a lot of gong music.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
This lady's got a gong in my work. I love it. Because, you know, I'm at a Japanese company. Go, this gal, she's from Kentucky.
Yeah.
But she's the one who has a gong sitting at her desk. I'm like, that's... And it's one like of those,
like, a tabletop
bowls.
Gong?
Oh, it's like a
so
sound
cool.
bowl.
Oh,
it's like got like a big wooden, like,
bowl.
Pestle.
Yep, yep, yep.
Like,
yeah.
There's one real... I don't know if you have any, like, dialogue for this, but my biggest thing I always want to ask someone that's like as invested into yoga as you is, what is the whole theory of like being high in yoga? Like the whole like Kundalini kind of thing? Like, do you know?
Yeah. Okay. So Kundalini has to do with the energy that's coiled up at the base of our spine. your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
And by doing these breath exercises, so you know what meridians are? Like in
like
acupuncture, the meridians.
Yeah, yeah,
in the body.
The points.
Yeah, in Ayurvedic, which is the Indian kind of traditional medicine, they have nadis. And nadis, meridians, about the same thing. They're energy channels in the body. Mm. Your central one is Sushumna nadi. That's your spinal cord, right up and down. And then you have, from the base of the spine, Ida and Pingala that interweave and they connect at this place right above your head. And that energy channel is where the chakras come from.
Okay. Mm.
So the chakras are just energy wheels where the left, right and left side touches the central channel. Mm. And so Kundalini is a way to use the breath and to move the body to open up those pathways of energy.
Uh-huh.
And so they do lots of breath exercises to kind of like level up the energy from the base, the root, through all the way to the crown of the head and above the head to grow your energy in that way.
And that's like the high that they explain when they're like, it's like you're tripping and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, because you are just so full.
Yeah.
You know, like you almost have this tingly, floaty sensation.
So you've experienced that?
I don't practice Kundalini.
Okay.
But I have practiced when I come to Shavasana. I almost feel like I'm levitating.
What's Shavasana?
Shavasana is corpse pose.
Oh,
that built-in relaxed time.
Remember in the beginning?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm so impressed that she. Yeah, exactly. But I, you know, it's like we all know that exercise, you know, does give you the like dopamine kind of, you know, reward. Mm-hmm. You know, the runner's
endorphins
high and all
everything.
That. Yeah, endorphins.
Yeah.
That's it. But you know, so it's just interesting that you. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, you feel good when you work out. But, like, I always just thought it was interesting when you hear people doing yoga and, like, the Kundalini thing. It's like some people get scared of it because, like, whoa, you get, like, that, you know,
yeah,
mind-altering. Yeah. And
it does.
I always wanted to ask someone that's, you know, mm-hmm. someone like you about
There's
that.
One breath practice. It's called skull shining breath.
Sounds sweet.
And you
it
breathe.
It's like a metal
sweet.
Band.
Yeah. you work your breath up so much that it makes you dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings the energy from the base all the way up to the top. And it's almost like ringing a bell, you know, when you hit that hammer and it's like ding at the top. So you raise your energy from lower levels all the way up. And that's when you get that skull shining. You see spots.
Yeah.
Just through using your breath.
Hmm.
And
that's so cool.
It makes you think of like when you get like an adrenaline dump or just like you kind of get out of whack. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it would be like that, but it's just interesting because people don't want that. They're like, I don't like when I'm like that because I'm like all disoriented because I'm nervous. But
yeah, and there's a difference there because if you don't cultivate the breath, you can inhale, come up and then feel that like hit the base of your, and then you get dizzy.
Yeah.
But if you can control the breath with your movement, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can practice it with the breath, without the breath. If you can cultivate the breath and contain that energy, you don't hit the ceiling. You just kind of graze the ceiling without smashing,
okay.
You know.
A little more controlled, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you get hit with some like work drama or just life drama and you're just like, I got to go do yoga right now? Like,
yeah.
That probably happens to you every day, right?
Totally.
that's probably a good feeling to know that you have such like a, you know, I guess
a
like a power.
Escape.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a tool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yoga is a tool to live your life better, to be your like best self.
Have you found, since you are obviously so experienced now, this kind of goes back to where you started. Have you found somebody looking up to you as a teacher? Like, you know, have you been like teaching somebody? Has that been a thing yet?
Yeah, I am.
Like a student, I guess that's the easy
way
to
say. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You tiptoed around student so hard.
That was so dumb.
No, one of the great things about teaching is to watch other people grow.
Yeah.
You know, the first time they step onto their mat, they might feel awkward. They don't know what to do, where to look. And then seeing them come back consistently and seeing how it's changed them in just that short time. And disclaimer, I feel like my 10-some years of experience is just a drop in the bucket. I still have
so much
to
like,
learn.
Do you ever feel like just like you're out of your league sometimes when you talk to some people? Or
There have been some teachers where I am just in complete awe.
That's crazy.
I can't believe that they're still so – they have that equanimity even though they're doing things like pressing into a handstand – putting their leg behind their head and then coming down. Like, they're doing these extremely difficult postures, but they're like calm as a Hindu cow on their face. You know, they're not labored breathing. They're not forcing it. They just step right into it. And those are the people that I'm just like, wow, amazing.
Yeah.
The kindest people that give themselves up, that do community service, that have foundations, those are the people that I feel like a baby next to. Like, one day I'll get there. I'm not there yet, but I will continue to grow in that direction and just not be attached, not be down on myself if I'm not there already.
Yeah.
You know, like, we all grow in our own time. And so, and not all those people are yogis or proclaim themselves to be yogis. Sometimes they're just great people. I've met some doctors that go above and beyond and have saved lives. And they're not the type of people that need to be recognized.
Yeah.
That's just what they're supposed to do, and they just do it.
They're doing their job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and
not everybody needs a pat on the back for doing the right thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Probably a better mindset that people don't want some sort of reward or praise when you're just doing what should inherently be good, you know?
I agree. And my dad always said that if you're good at anything, people will speak for you. You don't need to advertise
yourself. You shouldn't need to defend yourself.
Yeah. I know. Promoting yourself is so weird. Sometimes you have to do it, but it always never sit right with me.
Yeah.
I agree. And back to that social media thing, I know I need to use it because
you're using it very well, I think.
Yeah, so. you don't flood it. I'll just see him like, oh, she's doing this. It's like, holy shit, look at this crazy stuff she's doing.
It's like quality over quantity, how I look at it. You know, when yours like comes out, it's just like, you know, you see it and you take it in, and it's not just like, oh, like, I'm going to skip over this because that's all Tiffy does. She just stands on her head all day. You know? But yeah, you're doing awesome with it.
Oh, thank you. Because sometimes I do feel the pressure to produce more content.
Yeah. Promote more.
And I just don't have it in me. Like, to do that, I would have to like force myself into another box that I feel uncomfortable in. And so, I mean, I don't apply pressure to myself to do any more than that. So that's why I don't. But I still have this nagging feeling like, post more.
Yeah, I know.
Hashtag more.
I don't think
I think that's the devil on the shoulder thing, you know? It's like speaking to you.
Also, keep in mind, this is like probably a positive promotion. I mean, when you're not probably, it
that's
is.
Where you're coming from a good place.
You're trying to push people towards like caring more about themselves and like understanding how to maximize like their breathing and social contentment. You know, like I know you find like you get like a cathartic feeling from yours, it seems, the way
absolutely.
You explain. Where a lot of people, it's more of a transaction to increase their body's wellness.
Yeah.
So, Anit, I think that's something that should have more shameless self-promotion, you know? Like, where some people, they just keep plugging, oh, go buy the new Lexus, blah, blah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Who needs to give a shit about that?
And I found that interesting because people will work tirelessly for a decade, two decades to get that physical thing, but are not as willing to spend that same amount of time cultivating themselves.
Yeah.
Being a better person, being a nicer person, and being like more gentle, you know, instead of getting down on themselves. And
too many people, my big thing I've noticed, and I can fall into this category sometimes, is like a lack of patience. A lot of people are too impatient and they can't defer gratification and make the right sacrifices early on. That's
One of my teachers said, we do this practice, which is oftentimes uncomfortable. We do it so that we can have greater ease later. And so you put into the bank and build interest so that you can draw from it later when you're really in a place, say you become ill or you become handicapped, then you can draw on the skills that you've already cultivated to make your world as it is now okay to you, have it make sense and not feel the loss so heavily.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, making a change later, it's usually too late. That's one of those things where you know, taking care of yourself is super important, but it's almost never urgent until it's too late.
I know. And a lot of, I look at the intake forms of students that come into the studio, and sometimes it says, like, doctor says, I need to come in. Mm-hmm. I've had this and this and this surgery. And so they approach yoga in their 50s when their doctor says, I know your insurance doesn't cover all this physical therapy, but you can go to yoga.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than physical therapy if you have bad insurance, you know, and that's really? That's just the United States. And so people end up coming in and doing that. And so for me, it helps that I work in a major hospital, I have access to doctors all around me. And if I have a question about how is the surgery performed, one of my students has just had a knee replacement, a hip replacement. How does that affect their healing time? What is the healing time? What actually is involved? You know, and so I feel that my background in Western science has equipped me with more anatomy and more understanding of the physical body so that I can help people become just comfortable in their own skin without so many aches and pains.
Yeah.
And then once we get past that, then we can move on to the other levels.
Yeah.
Because if you can't be comfortable in your own body, then you can't move up into working on your attachments, working on your ego.
For sure.
You have to handle one. You can't jump yourself, you know.
That can't be said any better than that. So we're going to wrap this up. It's been an hour, guys. How you feeling? I feel pretty good. I've been
trying to breathe, like Steve's been saying the whole time. So
Tiffy's energy has just brought me down.
I think her energy sucks and I hate it.
So where can people find you at? And, you know, what do you want to promote?
Yeah, I teach Monday nights in Warren at Strongheart Yoga, 13 miles in Old Van Dyke. Thursdays, I teach Ashtanga at Red Lotus in Troy, and also Saturdays, 9 a.m. Vinyasa and 10:30 Slow Flow. I have an inversion workshop coming up next Saturday, the 14th.
Do tell. Inversion workshop?
Yeah, so inversions is inverting, going upside down.
Like in those little machines? Cool.
Yeah. No, on your own, using your own body. Yep. So we'll cover headstands, handstands, forearm balances, anything that gets the heart over the head.
How do beginners break into that? Do you have to be like well-versed in regular postures
absolutely
first?
Absolutely not. Yeah. There are modifications. There's props. There are so many ways. And, you know, down dog is an inversion.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, we don't have to do all the like grandiose poses to reap the benefits.
I just went and saw, we were in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago for Rachel's, Rachel turned 30, and we went and saw Mystere, which is like a Cirque du Soleil. And like this one crazy one, these two dudes, is kind of weird watching him, but it was just so crazy. They're just wearing like a gold bikini bottom. And they're like, and they're both bald, I believe. So they kind of were supposed to look like a homogenous version of a person, just like really cut. And these guys were doing this crazy stuff where he would put like one hand on somebody, on the other guy's head.
Yeah.
And then he would lift his entire body up and like bring it all the way around. And he's like standing flat, like Superman pose, like with one hand on his head.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
I couldn't even believe how your skin wouldn't just pull back and screw up the whole balance thing. It was an amazing amount of control and coordination.
Alignment.
Absolutely. It's just, it's nuts. Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I just, go see all Tiffy's stuff. You know, she's an awesome teacher. Yeah, Alex, you have any promotions or anything?
No, I have that, nothing worth it.
Well, you're both always welcome back, and you can find all these at podcastdetroit.com and the Podcast Detroit app. So thank you very much for joining us, and namaste.
Namaste. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. Namaste.